my God. Gabe Courser.
What's up, dude?
Hey, dude, it's great to see you. And I didn't even take the books out of the way on the table. Let me. Let's clear these off. We can just put them down here because
yeah,
I can't
like
even see you.
That's so funny.
Literally. Oh, Gabe, you were kind enough just to sit through as I was setting up for the podcast and stuff. Thanks so much.
It was
much,
a pleasure,
dude.
Pleasure to watch.
Gabe, we're here with Gabe Courser today. Yes. Hilarious comedian and musician. Dude, I'm just such a fan of you.
Dude, thank you for having me on.
Dude,
I appreciate
it. Of course, man. You've done this show that we do here at the bookstore in Hoboken once or twice. Have you been on?
Once.
Just once?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a great time.
Dude, I appreciate you coming on. And it's like every time, it's funny because like I've given your name to like some other comedians as well. And then everyone that I talked to is just like, yeah, that dude's so freaking funny.
Damn.
Yeah,
thank you, dude.
You're
making me blush.
No, but I'm excited to have you on because you actually just released two music videos.
Yeah, two music videos.
Can you like, so now you started originally as a musician or?
Yeah, I guess I started rapping. It sounds so lame. No. I started rapping. No, I started doing music in like 2017, my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Embarrassing to admit, I released a song on SoundCloud called Jewel.
Oh.
Like about the vape. Or like it was like really picking up steam at that time. And it was it was like a jokey song.
Yeah.
But it like got like 4,000 or 5,000 plays.
Dude, that's
like
sick.
pretty quickly.
Really,
and I was like, I'll just release two more of these and I'll be famous.
No, I. that was the game plan. You're like, oh, I'm good. This is all I need. No, I laugh. Obviously, like not to. I'm not making fun, but in the way it's like, because you were 17, right?
Yeah, 16 or 17.
16 or 17. Yeah. It's like, yeah, of course that's what you're gonna write about. Yeah. It's like we're so young at that point.
It's like I don't comprehend
like,
love.
Yeah, it's like we don't know life experience. It's like, but I really love my freaking Jewel.
Yeah,
man.
I want to make like the people on the baseball team laugh. Right? That's what I wanted to do.
So was it was it a parody song about like jeweling or was it like a real, like, you know what I mean? Like what was the intention behind it? Was it like you wanted to make your team laugh or was it like
I guess it wasn't primarily like comedic, you know. Like I definitely did want to like rap and like make music.
Right. Yeah.
But it was
more like you were open to having like comedic elements in it.
Yeah. Where I feel like I've always been like a kind of funny guy, right?
Yeah.
And
no,
I've always just like it just like came naturally, I guess.
Yeah, dude. No. So you started around like 16 or 17 getting into music. So would you say like, and this is, I feel like it's a dumb question maybe,
sure,
but like in your mind, is there any like differentiation, like I'm a musician first, then comedian, musician, or like do you see it as one whole thing?
It definitely feels like different eras.
Sure.
Because I started doing music and I never really thought about stand-up, like doing it myself. Like I always liked it, but in high school and then throughout college I made music, and then I met people in college who made music, so it kind of just like put me into that world a little more. And then when I moved to New York I started doing comedy, and then I sort of trailed off on music a little bit.
Sure.
So it definitely feels like two distinct eras.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I feel like I've always tried to interweave like jokes into songs before.
Totally.
Where it's like I'm not being 100% serious in my music all the time, you know?
No, 100%. And there is definitely something in your act, which I mean is a compliment. There is like there is a rhythm or a structure. You're very structured in your joke, which I love. Which
Thank
is
you.
Very,
Thank
dude,
you.
Of course. Yeah, it's very apparent that, like, you really work on the material, and, dude, it's so cool. I ask, because I'm always very curious, I heard this thing on Pete Holmes's podcast, who I mentioned all the time on here, inspiration for this podcast, but it's like, all comedians want to be musicians, and all musicians want to be comedians.
Yeah.
So it's, like, so cool that, like, you do both.
Yeah,
like,
I guess I have gotten both sides.
So it is, like, I love that. So, like, you just really, it just seems like you're just about creating stuff, whether it be music or comedy. Have you definitely in recent years like put more of the gas on comedy, it sounds like?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, since moving to New York, which was about like 2.5 years ago.
Did you move here for comedy?
No. I grew up in Westchester.
Okay, gotcha.
So like proximity to the city,
sure,
pretty close.
Sure.
And that was just like my next move after college.
Gotcha.
And I like in college I had sort of been like gearing up where I'm like, all right, I'm interested in this, like wondering if I could do this.
Yeah.
And then like living in the city, I'm like, well, if I'm gonna try it anywhere.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. So you're from Westchester originally.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
like college?
Yeah.
I went to the University of Minnesota.
Oh, wow. So you got like that. And then you like came back to New York.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's cool. No, I'm excited to have you on, man.
I'm excited
to be
here.
Dude, I just watched the music video. It's great. It's we're going to link it all from your Instagram bio. And we're going to show.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, so we'll share
absolutely
it on our
shout out to Sean Smith, who is the director and videographer, editor.
What was the inspiration like behind it? Was it like, so... He's the director of the music video, right?
Yeah.
So did you come to him with the song?
Well, he's my friend from high school, actually.
Oh, okay.
And
cool. Very cool.
It just worked out so great because he's so talented and, like, does this as his job. He's a videographer.
Very cool.
And he hit me up. He's like, dude, I know you make music. Like, what do you got in the tank? Like,
nice.
send me a song. So I sent him the two songs that are in the music video, and he's like, we can definitely work with this. Like,
dude,
let's pick a date.
That is so...
It was so cool, dude. It was... some of the most fun I've had, like, doing something musically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It's cool, too, because I really like, I watched the one where you wake up in bed, and you sort of, like, it seems very authentically yourself, which I really like, especially,
yeah,
like,
in my bed with my, like, dirty sheets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're, like, cooking in the kitchen and stuff, dude. It's, dude, no, and the name of the song is Kissing My Friends? Or
yeah,
no?
Friends Who Kiss.
Friends Who Kiss. Well, yeah. And so, like, what was, like, the inspiration behind that song?
Well, that's, like, also kind of jokey as well.
Sure,
it's like,
sure.
And, like, if you listen to the verse, it's just, like, inside jokes with me and my friend who's also on the song, Alec. Shout out, Alec. But, yeah, we were talking about it the other day. We're like, we never thought we were going to release this because it's just, like, deep cuts from our conversations. It's like, it doesn't – some of the lyrics don't make any sense, but, like, it works.
Yeah, dude, no, it definitely
it works.
Does. No,
yeah.
It was really – and then because I know during the day you're a sex ed teacher.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we just
ed.
Had Brian Elberg on, who's another teacher.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to put yourself out there as a teacher?
I thought it would be a lot harder.
Yeah.
But – I mean, I'm sure it would be hard for teachers who like to keep, like, boundaries set. But
yeah.
Me, I'm a pretty chill guy. And, like, I'm not, like, a full-time teacher with students, like, day in and day out. I, like, go into classes and teach them one class.
Gotcha.
So, like, kids, like, search me up, whatever. But
yeah, but it's not. You know, it's funny because, like, the what I got from my conversation with Brian and from, like, other teachers I've had is, like, they're so desperate for people. It's like they're really just like, come on in. We don't even care.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, there's definitely no pushback from, like, the job.
That's good. Yeah. So because I know sometimes that can be, like, a barrier for people to, like, really put themselves out there.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the time for, like, privacy with kids, if you push back at all, that's when they, like, bombard you with, like, invasion of privacy.
Yeah. That's,
so I, like, keep a public account and, like,
right.
If they find me, they find me, you know?
Yeah. And
because then if you start, like, oh, don't follow me, you can't do this, then that's
right.
When it
then
gets,
it,
like,
yeah, then it's, like, going to spread and,
yeah,
like, yeah,
exactly.
No, I hear you. I'm, like, terrified of children. I don't know how you do it in a classroom. Because my self-esteem and ego is so fragile that I know that an 11-year-old can just, like, tear it to shreds.
Oh, my God, instantly.
It's crazy. Yeah, have you, like, had that happen to you? Like, yeah.
Oh, my God, what did they say? It was, like, maybe my second week working at my job, and one of the girls was, like, it's like, you look like the kind of guy who says oopsie daisy. Like, she clocked it so quick because I totally do.
You drop something later, you're like, oopsie. Fuck.
Yeah, fuck. She was right.
Dude, it's like, oh, because I used to coach a swim team of, like, 6 to 8 year olds.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude, it was 17 an hour, which in college is pretty good. No, I think it was 25. I think it was 25. Actually.
Whoa.
Which, yeah.
Yeah.
Only a few hours a week, but it's still pretty good when you're in college.
Yeah, definitely.
So one time at practice, this kid, I made them swim. They thought they were done with the workout, but I had, like, a few more.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, guys, you guys are almost done. And one kid, he's like 7, was like, you can't tell me what to do, you fucking pussy. Dude, like, in front of all the swimmers.
Yeah,
so
and
like,
you can't, like, flip it back on him.
No. Yeah. And, like, you know, and like, I wanted to be, and I've actually forgot the second part of the story, which is even crazier. But, like, in the moment, I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I just raised the volume of my voice. I was like, yeah, I was about to say his name, but, like,
yeah, let's dox this kid.
Like, Jeffrey. With Jeffrey. I was like, Jeffrey, you can't do this. And then he was just like, you know, he started crying. And then I was like, okay, how do I feel like I did something wrong?
Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. And then, the day after, he, like, came up to me and was like, I'm sorry for what I did. And then just, like, hopped back in the pool. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to drop it.
Yeah, right.
Dude, the craziest thing, though, is, I guess, 11 years later, I went back to my old high school to, like, talk to, like, a business class about, like, you know, just, like, how to get a job and stuff. He was there.
No.
Yes. Sitting front row.
Who's the pussy now?
Yeah, exactly. And I went up to him. I was like, hey, Jeffrey. I was like, hey, do you remember me? I was your swim coach. And he goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I don't remember you. And it crushed me, dude.
That's the worst possible thing you could say.
This memory, it's such a core memory to me. Yeah. And the fact that this kid doesn't even remember who I am, let alone that it happened.
He probably doesn't even remember the second meeting.
No, absolutely. Yeah, he's probably he doesn't even remember the guy. My whole goal in life is just to get this kid to remember,
remember
me.
Remember one thing about you.
Remember me. But he just won't, dude. And it's crazy.
Fucking Jeffrey.
Fucking Jeffrey, dude. Not his real name. Yeah. I'll protect his identity.
Of course.
That really fucking...
Yeah, dude, kids are tough. Kids are tough.
I don't know. Do you want kids?
I think I do.
Okay.
I do.
You know what's funny is, any guy our age, there's never a hard yes.
Right?
It's always I think so.
I have come to the conclusion that I might.
Yeah. Based on what people are doing around me, I'm thinking it might be
But it's creeping up on us. I feel like... because
you're my age, right? You're 29?
I'm 25.
25. Oh, yeah. Fuck me. That hurts so much.
I could have just said yes. We're the same age.
You said it in such a beautiful way, too.
Yeah, I am.
Because you're like, no, I'm 25. You're like, no, you were close. But, dude, there's such a chasm, I feel like, between 29 and 25.
Mm.
You obviously don't know yet because your knees haven't started hurting yet. But it's dude, it's great because I was talking with my fiance. She was just walking home from the gym, and she was just like, I can't believe I'm sore from walking home. She was like, so it's just
It's honestly started a little bit. It's definitely started in time to bounce back from injuries.
Yes.
Because it used to be I hurt my knee, I'm back in 2 days.
Exactly.
Now I hurt my knee, I'm thinking this could be a thing I have for life.
Yeah, and what's funny is when I was around 25 too, that's when I started feeling it. The drinking too is.
Oh my God, dude. A hangover will take me out for 5 weeks.
I have to be careful now because if I get that sick, it's like you said, it's for a week. It's dude, it's 25, man. 25. Here I was thinking, God damn it. I'll get over it. Jeez. And Gabe, you work with Amanda Giles. You just started a great show at Flophouse Comedy.
Yeah, we just had our first rendition of the name show.
Great, great concept.
Great
I love
first
it.
Show.
You tell the people. I think the
it was a great first show. It was the Gabe, Amanda, and Adam show. Basically, the premise is we choose three names, and people audience members with those three selected names get to come to the show for free. And also, to lean into it, we try to book comics with those names.
Yeah, that's, it's very cool.
Yeah, we got everybody name tags. I'm glad everybody was leaning into it. It was a fun time.
I actually, truth be told, I do have to confess something, which is I borrowed an idea you guys had, which is that I love you did a raffle for comics to come and get a 5-minute spot on the show.
Yeah,
I loved that idea so much.
It's a fun, little wrinkle for people.
Totally. And then, what's cool is, that crowd, too, and I'm sure future crowds that, go to the show are, really bought into. They're like, all right, let's see a guy who's not supposed to be on the lineup. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It was very cool. And that, I forget his name, but Dave something did very well on the show. He was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good, dude.
Oh, no, it was Gabe. It was another Gabe.
Oh, it was Gabe. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm Dave. But no.
Dude, that happens to me all the time at coffee shops. I get Daved a lot.
You get Daved?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dave specifically.
Yeah, I say, what's your name? Gabe?
Yeah.
Dave?
And Dave.
And I just sure.
It's whatever you need. Yeah. What's your order? Where are you going?
At coffee shop?
Yeah.
I'll do cold brew, oat milk.
Nice.
Maybe a splash of vanilla, simple syrup.
Fun.
Something light and sweet.
Nice.
I've started doing black coffee, honestly.
Dude, you're at that age.
Yeah,
it's very
it's time.
I'm gonna tell you
it's time to leave this kiddie oat milk shit behind.
You're an adult now.
Yeah.
Come on, no, it's I said this to my friend who's a guidance counselor and he thinks it's hilarious, but black coffee is just the taste of dead dreams. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Where
it's just
you've accepted it.
You just accept it. You're like, I know what I'm here for, and I don't need any of the bullshit flavoring or nut milk or anything. That's as I used to be. I'm so. I love. I'm only 4 years older than you, and I'm when I was your
just
age.
Just wait,
buddy. There's a 33-year-old creeping in the window.
Yeah, on his knees.
Yeah, yeah. He has no idea what he's in for. Yeah, I do black coffee now.
Yeah.
But
And that's a cool order. That's kind of hot. Like,
yeah. No, you're 100% right. Like, the black coffee is like, it's that's a man who knows himself. You know what I mean? When you hear a man order black coffee, it's he like, well, he knows what he's doing. He's just like
fit pipes after this.
What house are you building? My God. Yeah, dude. Just a man who's on a mission. But I, because I also too, like, do you ever make coffee at home or no?
Yeah, I'll make coffee at home a good amount. Now that the summer, it's like getting warmer, so I'll get iced coffee.
Yeah,
and like
I
just
do.
Tank my bank account.
Dude, it's the fucking worst, man. Like, everything is so fucked. Yeah. Everything's so expensive. Like, a $7 coffee now doesn't even seem that bad. It's like, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, damn, only $7.
I'm like, wow, only $9 for...
Yeah, I remember, I think I must have been, like, just starting to drink coffee in, like, maybe 8th, 9th grade.
Yeah.
And I went to Dunkin' Donuts with my mom, and I was like, oh, my God, like, a large coffee is only $5. And she's like, that cost them 20 cents to make.
Dude, that's the...
And it just
kind of
blew my mind.
I know, yeah. Same here. Now, would you remember your first coffee?
I kind of do. It was served like it was like a family gathering, and I had told my aunt that I wanted to start trying coffee.
You did it like in front of people?
Yeah. It
That's
was like a
really
performance.
Cool.
Dude.
Yeah.
I had it in a porcelain cup. I had black coffee in a porcelain cup, dude. It's like a ceremony.
Did you have anything in it, or like was
no,
it just black?
I think I just had it black.
Wow. What do you think? Do you remember, like...
I remember it being awful.
Yeah,
I was just like,
goes,
oh, my
yeah.
God, this sucks. Like,
I remember, too, my grandmother once, she let me have some of her scotch at a bar mitzvah when I was, like, 13, and it was gross. She's like, you're going to hate this. And, like, I remember
was
her...
Was that your first drink?
That was my first sip of alcohol.
Whoa.
There,
thrown in the deep end.
Dude, yeah, just going for the scotch on the rocks. She was like, here, you have to learn
the most
sometime.
Sophisticated, like, seventh grader in your grade. Like, what did you bring to after prom?
I brought Grey Goose. Does anybody want?
It's like, who wants an old fashioned? Yeah. It's like everyone's drinking Four Locos.
Dude, were you ever on the Four Loco train?
I was, dude. That was not my first drink, but I was definitely
that
on the Four Loco train.
Oh, dude, one of those would fuck you up.
Oh, my God, dude. That's why I was on them. They cost $3.
Yeah, and it was just like, yeah.
And like, I would go to a house party. One of my friends had a fake ID, and I'd be like, just get me a Four Loco. I'm good.
Yeah, and then you're good. And then that was, it was a simple order for underage drinkers.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I remember I got so drunk one night from a Four Loco in high school. I made out with a friend. Nice. But I also accidentally slammed the door on my friend's toe. Dude, he was trying to, like, I guess, like, not get in, but, like, I guess he was trying to get my attention.
Yeah,
so
just
he opened the door, and I kicked the door shut, and, dude, it, like, took off the top of his nail.
Ooh.
Dude, it was, it was real bad.
Yikes.
I know.
That's
huge
what the
Four
Loco do, dude. the Four Loco code red.
I was just on a rampage. Yeah. Dude, I do remember. So that was. Do you remember your first drink?
Yes, I do. It was at my friend's house, and we did the classic move, where it's like, all right, it was three dudes, and we're like, all right, we're all gonna take like an ounce of whatever our parents have,
nice,
so they don't know about like all the bottles.
Sure. Did you put water back in?
No, we
no,
did, but
just
we just
like,
took
okay,
enough.
Like
where
enough
it was like,
was, yeah,
yeah. So we had like this Gatorade bottle filled with the most disgusting concoction. It was
like, it was
like
mixed with everything.
Tequila,
oh,
wine, vodka, Bailey's, like the cream liqueur. It was so gross, dude.
Dude, my favorite thing about this story is it's like, it's so high school because like you guys didn't even get on the same page about like what alcohol to get. You're like, whatever's
like, whatever
there.
Whatever it is. If it has a percentage, we're good.
He's like, they didn't have anything. I brought Gatorade. You're like, throw it in.
Yeah.
Whatever you got,
that'll
man.
Do.
We'll take the electrolytes.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, that was great. I threw up so much that
night.
Oh,
man. Did you get drunk from it? Or?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
brutal.
Dude, that's like, it's so funny, too, because they tell you specifically, don't mix.
Yeah. I was just not listening to a word of any advice, dude. I was just like, I'm ready to do this.
I'm curious, like, as a sex ed teacher, like, just because we're talking about, like, alcohol, those kinds of things, what's the level of being, like, real with your students? Like, to the point where it's like, hey, like, here's the stuff in the textbook, but, like, actually, from life experience, like, this is, obviously, you can't be specific with life experience, but you know what I'm saying? Like, where's that line?
Definitely not like personal experience. Sometimes we'll be like, oh, I knew a friend or something.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Just to like keep it anonymous.
Right.
But we also like have a clinic associated with our office.
Okay.
So we have like the testing stats. And it's like out there for people to search up, but like the highest rates of new STI cases are like in Brooklyn, people under 20 years old. So we tell them that, and like the rates of who's going to get tested versus who's coming back positive. Right.
Right.
And like we try to be as real as we can with the students. Right.
How are they receptive to it? Like, do you think overall?
I think at the end they are, because like depending on the age group, it can be hard to like for them to come around to the idea of like these adults are coming in to talk about sex.
Right. And what are the age group? What are the age ranges that you like talk to?
Excuse me.
You're good, brother.
I've taught like as young as fifth grade up to like senior in high school. So,
oh my God, that's,
it's like completely different vibes. Like same curriculum.
Yeah.
But you got to approach it in a totally different way.
I was going to say, it has to, especially with the fifth grader, that's like a really sensitive time. Because at least I feel like in high school, they know what sex is.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I'm fifth grade. You must have kids that haven't even heard of it, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And fifth grade, we definitely like tailor the lessons to be like, okay, like we're thinking about relationships as a whole rather than like intimate relationships.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, you can't can't go to a class of fifth graders and be like,
who's fucking?
There's one tall kid in the back.
Yeah, and held back 7 years. But so you definitely got to go approach it in a different way.
Do you remember how you learned about sex?
I do. It was on my 10th birthday. I think I had heard about sex.
Fifth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You were the kid in the back.
Exactly. Exactly. I had heard about sex and I didn't really know what it was. I think I was under the impression that babies were made by, I think, two married parents kissing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Married. Very important
married
detail.
Yeah. Definitely not before. Doesn't work if you're not married.
Doesn't happen.
And on my 10th birthday, we went out to dinner and I asked my mom, or no, she had mentioned it was 8:30 p.m. and she was like, oh, this is around the time you were born. Just like a throwaway fact.
Sure.
I was like,
sure.
Oh, that's cool. Where do babies come from anyway? Like a hard hitting question after that. And she's like, you know, the stork, like she's trying to play it off.
Sure, sure.
And then I like really cracked down. I'm like, mom, I'm 10. I can handle it.
You're stop. So you're like, I'm double digits.
Yeah,
now,
I'm double digits. Exactly.
This isn't yesterday when I was 9. Okay. Let's
so
get
I
to
like wore her down. And after a while, she's
okay,
babies come from sex. I instantly start sobbing, crying.
No, Gabe. Because
I'm like, I don't think I even knew what sex was at that point.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, sex is a bad word.
Yeah.
And like, it's for bad people.
Oh, and you know what it is, too, about the word sex is it has that X sound at the end.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, extreme.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, X like games. Exactly. And it has that. So as a kid, too, I feel like you're extra sensitive to just...
Totally.
Dude.
So I
dude, that's so sad. You started crying. Oh, yeah, no.
So I'm like,
I
want to
be 9 again.
People. Yeah, it's like, get me back to single digits.
Get me back to single digits. Dude, that's so funny. Not to be rude. I'm sorry. I have this like weird thing. Like when we record, I need to always make sure that like the Zoom recorder is working.
Oh, like levels and time
dude,
and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, because like we started a podcast once. It was Matt Kasabian's episode. You can go back and listen. It's episode 2. He came on. He talked about like his... IBS and like he had like a what do you call it, a stoma,
Oh, like a
ostomy, an ostomy bag. And we started the podcast for like 10 minutes and like we were not recording. I know. And I was like, oh,
damn.
Good thing I checked. So I'm so sorry. But no, back to sex. And thank you so much for asking, Gabe. The way I learned about sex is no just to like be in it with you. I remember I was in second grade and it was my friend Luke. He was in the bathroom. And I was just, like, at the urinal doing my thing.
Yeah.
And he came over next to me. He was like, you know where babies come from? And I was like,
damn.
No. He's like,
tell me more.
He was like, you know how we have the stick? And I was like, yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure, Luke.
He's like, you know how girls have a hole? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard of it, yeah. the medical term, the hole.
Yeah, stick and hole.
Yeah, stick and hole. Everyone knows. Yeah, he was like, the guy puts it in the hole. that's what happens.
Damn.
And I will say, I took it, I was like, okay. I was just very, like, accepting of it. I was like, that makes sense. I was like,
Luke had a pretty good understanding for a second grader.
Yeah, I've heard stories, too, where it's like, the woman the guy pees and the girl. Yeah, I've heard that. I used to think that babies, it was different for every woman where babies came out of.
Like a different hole.
Like, I thought I came out of my mom's toe for a while. You know what I mean? Which is crazy.
Was there any, like, people telling you that, or you just like assumed that?
I think I came up with that one on my own. I think, and you know what? I think my mom was so tired of my question. She was like, yeah, it's the toe. You know what? That's good enough for you.
Long day of work. You came out of the toe.
12-hour shift as a nurse. Let's let him think it's the toe for a little bit. That's okay. A PG.
If it'll get him to bed, you came out of my goddamn toe.
Sure. And your brother came out of my ear. So that's the real, that was where, yeah, dude, it's. Is it, I guess, like, are you, with how you teach sex ed, is there, like, anything that you go over with the kids that you wish you had known? Not at 10, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely gotten a lot more comprehensive. And, like, no fault to the sex ed I got. I think it was pretty good, the one I got. But it's just, like, we're constantly learning new things about society and, like, different groups, right, which I think is good for people to know about as soon as possible, right? And in New York, like the city, I'm not too worried about that, but you'll hear stories of people who grew up just like other states where the sex ed isn't as good or comprehensive.
Yeah, right.
And you'll go somewhere that's as diverse as New York and just be like mind blown, you know?
Yeah.
But things I wish I had. I don't know. I feel like I had a pretty solid sex ed.
Yeah.
Maybe just starting at a younger age, where it was always this thing like you take health in 10th grade, and that's the designated 2 weeks that we talk about sex.
Yeah.
Because then it became this like taboo, like putting it up on a pedestal, right?
Sure.
Where I wish it was more just like a normal thing, because it is a normal thing.
Yeah, and that's the. I mean, it's a tough one because I just feel like so many people. I was going to say our age, but whatever. So many people I talk to, it's like sex is just, unfortunately, it's one of those things that like you really learn the most of it on your own.
Yeah.
And like via the internet now and like a lot of people's first. Like, do you guys like talk about the impact of porn or anything? Or?
Yeah, we will with like some older kids.
Sure.
But yeah, that is the reality where most kids are, you know, not talking about it like with their family for sure.
Yeah.
Especially like immigrant families where sex is a lot more taboo.
Yeah.
But yeah, not talking about it with their families. And if they're talking about it with their friends, it's like stuff they learn from porn or on the internet, which is just like.
Yeah, it's not.
Fiction. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not. Yeah, it's not. I mean, I'm still learning stuff from porn. Like, I've been doing it for years and I still don't.
Just like taking notes, not even jerking off.
How do they do this?
Interacting with commenters. It's like, what's the name of that move that guy just did?
All right. Are you guys at the 5:31 mark? I'm trying to figure out at the angle at which he was able to somersault like that over. No. It's like not even porn. I'm watching like a gymnastics video. I'm watching like Cirque du Soleil. People are like, dude, what are you talking about? Oh my God. Jeez, man. No, that's good. I do want to get into your low point today, Gabe.
Absolutely.
Which is, yeah, geez, and you're very generous for coming on. I didn't even know this until you had messaged me before you came on.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is
we
that
texted about it.
Yeah, your dad passed away when you were 8 years old.
Yeah, when I was eight. Yeah, it just came up on the 17-year.
Wow.
Death anniversary.
Yeah. And so, can you tell us a little bit about like? Do you have earlier memories with your dad?
I do, which I'm grateful for, you know?
Yeah.
And just, like, about my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, I mean, from what I remember, a great guy. And from all I hear, he's an amazing dude, right?
Yeah.
But it is, like, a little frustrating just to get, because, like, you start memories at what? Like, 3, 4, or 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to just get, like, a little slice, you know?
That's gotta be. That word you used, frustrating, is very hard. I don't have this experience, so you'll have to forgive my ignorance, you know, as we talk about it and stuff. But The word frustrating is very interesting to me because, yeah, I think it's like you got a little taste, but you didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely the word that I think resonates the most with me because, like, I've talked to people and they're like, oh, you don't even seem like that sad to talk about your dad, or like, I guess the sadness has left, or like the initial grief.
Yeah.
Right. But it is just like frustrating and like disappoint. Like, I'm disappointed for my younger self, really.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, to not have had like a relationship or a dad, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like frustration, disappointment, and just like longing rather than like sadness.
If you don't mind me asking, what did he die from?
He was in a car crash, actually.
Oh, that's awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and like me and my sister were actually in the back seat of the car.
Oh my God, you were in the car with him?
Yeah, we were in the car. And a tree fell on our car while we were driving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you remember, we can cut anything you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember, did you get out of the car? Like, where can you, like, take us through that moment?
Yeah, we were going to our local pool, and he was driving in the front, and my sister, I was 8, and my sister was 4, my younger sister. And, yeah, we were just driving on this, like, back road, which, like, just like no rails, whatever, trees hanging over. and just like it felt like I blinked, and then like the car was like caved in, whatever. Me and my sister were pretty unscathed, actually, which is crazy to think about. Like, I've read like reports and like news articles on the crash.
Sure.
And apparently like the tree was like V-shaped. So it hit the front seats and the trunk.
Wow.
And then the back seats where me and my sister were like untouched pretty much. It like made this like bubble. But yeah, then I peeked my head out of like one of the cracks in the car and like waved down a car, and then an ambulance came. That's what I remember from the crash.
No, and again I appreciate you sharing this. This is probably like one of the more traumatic things like we've had on the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what strikes me is you seem to be in a place where, and I don't mean to like, speculate or anything, but you seem to be in a place where like you've kind of processed it.
Yeah.
And not to say that like you're done, but you know what I mean? Like, you seem to be okay at the very least.
Yeah. Like, it'll always be something that's like a little difficult to talk about and just like, like a dark thing that happened, but I definitely have processed. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, been to family therapy, my own therapy, just to like deal with.
Did you go right after? Like, did you start going?
Pretty soon after.
Yeah.
I think within the year. It happened in March. So, yeah, I think we went to family therapy that year.
Yeah.
For like lost, like families with like who lost a parent.
Of course. And you went as a group?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. I'm glad to hear that, because again, like, if you don't deal with that, that's.
Yeah. It was nice to have, because it was like a big, like group therapy. I actually don't know what it was called, but they had like parents and kids, and then we had like a group meeting, and then we split off into different groups. So it was just good to like be around other people who were going through something similar, just to make it feel normal.
Yeah,
you know,
that's I've heard, like, especially in tragic situations like that, it is so important to keep that normalcy going.
Yeah,
right. Just to feel. And so, does your sister have any recollection of your dad, or?
Definitely a lot less, because she was 4 at the time, and she's got an idea of who my dad was, just based on like stories and like being around his side of the family and stuff. But I think definitely less so.
And now, so you're 8 and you're obviously going through this traumatic loss. Do you remember like, how did it impact you? Obviously, I'm sure you were hit with like immense grief. You're 8 years old having to deal with this.
Yeah.
Could you just take us a little bit about like through that time? And again, if it's too painful, we don't have
no,
to.
No, absolutely. I guess at 8, it was really hard to, looking back, it was like hard for me to wrap my head around the whole situation I didn't quite get the full like scope or gravity of the situation, right? But I knew it was bad, And like I knew I was sad because my dad wasn't around anymore.
Yeah.
And I think I picked up on most of that from my mom, just because like she was really going through it.
Right.
Where we had just moved to, we used to live in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Up until I was six. And we moved to Westchester, this town in Westchester.
Right.
So like a year and a half, 2 years later, she doesn't know anybody. Her husband died.
Right.
She has two kids in this town where she's like new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just knew, like, I could pick up on her like stress and anxiety, and just like knew that it was like a bad situation or a sad situation, you know.
Did you feel a responsibility to, I guess, like, and maybe I'm like projecting here, but like, and I'll try to stop prefacing my questions. I just want to make sure that I'm handling this as delicately as I can.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
it. Yeah, feel free to let them fly.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. So like, did you feel a responsibility to like be there at 8 years old for your mom?
A little bit, yeah. Like like when I say that, like I always think like I wasn't helping like financially, right?
Oh,
or
course,
I wasn't helping like
you're
driving my sister to places, right?
You're picking up two jobs.
Yeah.
These another paper round, let me tell you. They don't pay
like
they
used
to.
Chimney sweep.
But you're adorable, so you're like you're killing it in tips. You're just covered in soot after. Gabe is making a mess in his second grade class.
He's goddamn, he's making $150K a year.
The teachers are mad you're making more than them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's adorable. He sings, too. It's really great. Oh, my goodness.
But no, it wasn't help in that sense. But I definitely felt, not pressure, but the responsibility to, like, soak up some of, like, just, like, the problems.
Yeah.
Where, like, I would let my mom tell me, this is really hard, this is really hard, this is really hard.
That's really generous, Gabe, yeah.
And, like, I kind of took it upon myself to be like, all right, I can't make any problems. Like, I can't make any new problems.
Yeah.
You know?
I was just going to say, I feel like as a kid, your mentality at that point is like, okay, I need to, like, be a good person so that I don't make any problems for my mom.
Yeah.
Or like other things like that. So did you like, were you like a rule follower and stuff like that after
Oh,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's really
big rule follower. I was terrified of like getting in trouble.
Yeah. Just because you didn't want to put that pressure on your mom.
Yeah. Like I remember one time I threw up in school.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't call my mom. She's at work. Like,
no.
I don't want her to worry about me.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, stuff like that, where it's like, I wouldn't want to create new stress.
Isn't it funny, too, like, as kids, like, how you would, like, we obviously think, like, kids don't know or have that life experience, but, like, isn't it funny how, like, looking back, it's like, yeah, we had that awareness, too, and I'm just including myself, because, again, I was a rule follower, I didn't want to put that burden on my parents, right? But it's like, kids do have that sense, where it's like, a lot of times they want to be good, like, for their parents, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, people don't give kids enough credit, I feel like, especially working with kids now.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like,
because they'll have all the feelings, like, the full range of human emotion.
Totally,
but they might not just have the best vehicle to, like, express those, right?
Totally, dude.
That's why, like, the classic one, it's like, oh, you're just, like, being mean to someone that you have a crush on, where it's like, you don't know how to deal with it.
Right, right, exactly. And, like, it's funny, too, because I really do look at the world now, like, as an adult, like, it's all just, like, kids and, like, adult bodies, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you're still that, a lot of times, scared and, like, you know, you're just a kid who's, like, a little bit older. Like, does that make sense to you?
Totally.
Yeah.
With just more responsibilities.
Which is more responsibilities and, you know, working chimney sweep jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
No, dude, so you're in this house with your mom. Did you feel a responsibility then to help out in terms of, like, raising your sister or anything, or being like, and again, like, I'm not trying to like write the story, but just like, I would imagine that like there's no longer a father figure in the house. So did you feel the responsibility to take that on for your younger sister?
Definitely. Because I mean, shout out my sister. Love my sister.
Nice. You seem to have a really close family. Like, you guys seem to be.
Yeah. Good. We're super tight.
That's awesome.
We get on each other's nerves. Like
I'm
all
sure.
families, but
yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah.
Still ride or die, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She had like trouble in school, like throughout school, which is like school sucks. It's like, who wants to do school?
Right.
And I always found the line kind of hard to toe because, like, as a sibling, I wanted to be on my sister's side. To be like, oh, fuck mom. She doesn't know what she's talking about, right?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, she's yelling at us, whatever. But then I was also like, I kind of just had like this back of my mind awareness where it's like, mom's going through it right now. Like, we can't not do homework, you know? So I'm like helping my sister with homework, yelling at her like I'm a parent. And I'm like, I don't know. It was a tough line to draw, especially like middle school, high school.
Right.
Just because, like, you don't want to be, like, picking sides in a family.
No. And it's just, I want to compliment you, Gabe, because, like, knowing this now, because you are just such a great person, and I love hanging out with you, dude. And I'm not just saying that to butter your bread, but knowing that, like, you had this background growing up where it just seems like you had to take so much on so early. And you seem to have, like, just had the right attitude and the right things to, like, deal with it, man. That's something you should take a lot of pride in. I hope you do.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, man, of course.
Yeah.
Was your sister, like, receptive to that stuff? Like, was it, like, you know, like, if you were like, look, we have to be better for mom, was it something like, was she, like, receptive to it?
Yeah, she definitely understands the situation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, something I really admire about my sister, which, like, I get frustrated with her a lot, but she is not afraid to, like, be her own person and be like, this sucks, I'm not doing this, and just, like, throw a tantrum, throw a fit, whatever she might have done or does, whatever.
It's like the double-edged sword of that. Yeah,
yeah, where it's like, I wish I could just be like, fuck this.
Right,
like,
right.
But I want to do my own thing, right?
Did you have any moments like that growing up where you were like, you wanted to do something like that, but you felt you couldn't because of the responsibility you had?
Not any, like, big ones.
Okay.
You know? But yeah, so it is like a double-edged sword where it's like, I really wanted my sister to comply and just like do the thing that sucks.
Right, because, for mom.
Yeah, where like it'll make life so much easier.
Yeah.
But I also am like, yeah, like, do your own thing.
How did you guys, like, collectively, I guess, like, deal with that sadness and that grief? Was it through the therapy? Was it, like, it seems like you guys were communicating your emotions throughout.
Yeah, I mean, therapy did definitely help for the first year or two afterwards. But other than that, I mean, just, like, a lot of, like, powering through because...
Yeah, I imagine it's a lot of white knuckling it and just, like...
Yeah, because, I mean, at the situation, like, my mom's now a single mother of two.
Yeah.
With... Like, she can't, like, stop going to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, like, we didn't have any, like, financial problems.
Sure,
My mom was able to, like, take care of us. Like, we had everything we needed. But, yeah, just trying to talk about it as much as possible, even though, like, probably didn't happen as much as we should have.
Sure.
Just because it's, like, why would we bring up all this sad shit, you know?
Yeah. Did you have, so, like... As far as, like, because, I mean, you're 8 when this happens, right? So it's, how did it impact you, like, socially? Like, because it's, like, it's not like when you're 8, you have, like, friends you can go to and, like, communicate with that. So it's just, like, you know, when you made friends, like, were they just kind of, were they understanding of the situation and were they, like, supportive and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a really sweet thing that my class did. I was in 3rd grade.
Yeah, so this is a year after it happened.
No, I was in 3rd grade
when it happened. Okay.
And I think I was out of school for, I forget how long, a couple weeks. And then when I came back, everybody in my class had, like, drawn a picture for me. And they all, like, laminated it in this book.
Yeah.
I still have it in my closet at home. It's really sweet.
Yeah, that's really.
I look back on it every once in a while. I'm just like, damn.
Dude, that's really, that's so important when you're that young.
It was really special because I remember, like, being very nervous to go back to school.
Yeah.
And...
God.
Yeah, yeah, so it was very sweet. So thank you to my 3rd grade class.
No, that's really sweet. And were you ever, like, I know this might sound like a crazy question, were you ever, like, bullied for it or anything? Like, did anybody use it as, like, a...
No, luckily, like, everybody was very compassionate, at that age.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, and you're your fucking dad's
right,
dead.
That's, like, what Maybe that's... Yeah.
I was always prepared for it, you know? Like,
really? In the back of your mind? You were just like, I'm fucking ready.
I'm ready to fucking go off on whoever. But it never happened. I never needed to use any of the insults I had prepared in my head.
It's interesting because, like, don't we? I feel like we all have those, right? Like those scenarios in our head where it's like, when this happens, man, I'm ready to go.
Right.
I'm ready.
It's just the most improbable thing.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah. Like, you know, like someone points out this mustard
smacks
stain.
My girl's ass.
Yeah. I was going to say stain on my shirt, which shows you, like, where my mind is. Like, just not even important. Oh, man. I, like, it's so funny because, like, I don't know if I was going to say, if someone smacked my fiance's ass, like, yeah, I'd be, like, very upset. But also, I'd be like, you want me to do something or what? Like, you're yeah. You're your own woman. You have your own autonomy. You let me know. If you want me to beat the shit out of someone, I will do it. But if you also want you to handle it.
Yeah, it's like,
yourself,
I'll try my best.
Yeah, I will try to be a feminist in this situation. Either way, it sounds like, I guess I'm not.
Yeah, because then if you take full control, you're like, that's my woman. Like,
yeah, exactly. And then she's like, well, I'm not your property.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
She can fight her own battles. And she's like, you're not going to defend me? I'm like, I don't know what to do in this situation. So please don't slap my fiance's ass.
Yeah, please.
Just for the
don't
sake.
Don't smack anyone's fiance's
don't
ass.
Don't do that, man. Did you ever know anybody in college that, like, when you were, like, in those crowded bars would, like, grab asses and stuff?
Mm.
I knew a guy like that.
I probably knew
you
without
probably
knowing
knew
they did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. That was always skeevy to me.
But. Yeah. There was a dude in middle school who would do that.
Damn.
Like, a girl was at their locker and he, like, smacked
what?
Their ass.
That's crazy. That is.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Just, like, in broad daylight?
Yeah. What a crazy time.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing to do. It's a 12-year-old. Well, this is mine.
Yeah. Like, how do you even know
that's
a thing to do?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's. Oh, my God. Talk about, like, repressed. Just like, like, horniness. Just trying to get it out. I get so, like, growing up then, Gabe, like, through the years, like, could you tell us a little bit of just, like, what it was like then to grow up without a dad? Were you, like, because I imagine the thought must have come up, like, if he was here, you know, we could share, like, this, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it must have been tough.
I mean, tons of stuff that just, like, kind of, again, like, longing for a relationship like that.
Yeah.
And I still get kind of, not awkward, but just, like, a little bit weird when people talk about, like, oh, yeah, I was with my dad the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a time in, like, high school or college where I'm like, damn, I haven't, like, said the word dad in, like, years.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, crazy to me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, even now I see, like dudes, like, getting a beer with their dad. And I'm like, damn, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd
that
be cool.
Would be, yeah.
And I mean, just especially, like, hearing the stories of who my dad was, that's what makes it even more frustrating.
Sure. Do you have, like, a story that, like, sticks out?
I mean, he just seemed like such an interesting guy. Like, he was the chief of research at Metropolitan Hospital.
Wow. Oh, my
which
God.
Which is, like, a very, like, talented and just, like, compassionate doctor.
Sure.
And, like, everybody who worked with him, like, raved about how good a guy he was. And, you know, I'm sure that's true. I was never his patient.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, right.
He went to, like, art school first. He went to, like, 15 to 20 different colleges, like, going for a semester. He was, like, this traveling,
wow,
coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
And then he went to medical school in Grenada and, like, slept in a tent, got straight A's, like, got his medical degree. And I think, like, you know how, I mean, I don't know if if you think Abraham Lincoln's a great president, but, like, you know how, like, but you know how, because he got assassinated, everyone's like, he is one of the best presidents ever.
Sure,
and, like,
sure.
He did all the stuff with the Civil War, freeing slaves.
I love imagine I was like, no, he's not the best president ever.
But I think the fact that he died, at least for me,
yeah,
sensationalized him a little bit more in my head.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more frustrating that I didn't really get to know him. You know?
That's fascinating, because I hear you where it's like, you know, you're almost like building him up and you're like, was he this guy? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah, right? Where it just, like, makes him even more untouchable.
Right.
And even like with comparisons to myself.
I was going
to
ask because, yeah, I feel like especially for men, like your dad is who you base your identity off of.
Yeah.
Did you have any other role models that you like tried to do that with? Like male role models specifically growing up?
I mean, all my uncles are really great. My dad had a bunch of brothers and a couple sisters as well. But if we're talking male role models, and like from what I remember of my dad, all of his brothers are kind of like different variants of the same guy. Like, you know what I'm talking?
Yeah.
They're all like goofy, happy, gregarious, very like intelligent dudes. Yeah. From Minnesota, so they all have like a thick accent. Like,
oh, nice! Did that influence your decision to go to University of Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't think Minnesota would have been on the table if my dad wasn't from there.
Oh, very cool. Okay, gotcha. Minnesota, nice.
Minnesota.
It's so funny because So now,
So yeah, my uncles on my dad's side, just because they reminded me of him, so like I was drawn to that energy.
Yeah.
You know, also like on my mom's side. My uncles on that side are very, you know, loving and awesome as well.
Yeah. So was it like, were you able to like reach out to them like when you had problems or anything? Or was it more like, these are like the type of men I want to be like?
Yeah, I think less so with problems just because I think I internalized sort of the mood I took at home where it's like, I don't want to make any new problems.
No, of course.
And kind of took that throughout life, like in every relationship.
Right.
Which... not the healthiest thing, not the worst thing, I guess.
No, it's not, and like clearly understandable. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think, it's definitely something I think like you need to like be extra careful for where it's like, obviously as a kid, I'm like lecturing you. No, but I just like as an observer, it's like, you do have to be extra careful because it's like, am I not talking about this because I'm trying to avoid the problem or am I really just like trying to avoid causing problems? You know what I mean? Like, I could definitely see that. But so now you're looking at like your uncles and like you're kind of basing like, and maybe I'm projecting here because again, like we talked a little bit about the podcast before, but like, I modeled a lot of my identity off of my dad. So now you're kind of doing that like with your uncles, you would say.
Yeah. And I always like got a little extra satisfaction of when people would tell me like I reminded them of my dad.
That's really, I can imagine, dude, that must have,
Yeah. But it was also like sort of bittersweet. Because it's like, okay, I'm like trying to be like this ghost, essentially.
Yeah.
Where, it's like.
That's like hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, because like I want to be like him so badly, but like I don't know what the finished product looks like. Like I don't know when I'll ever get there or if I'll ever get there. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tough doing comparisons, right, with someone who's not around.
Yeah, but inevitable, though, right? It's like because, you know, it's completely normal to make those comparisons. I think it's even – do you think it's like – do you set the standard too high for yourself sometimes because of that? Like, do you feel like you set standards you can't live up to because of it?
Yeah, set standards for myself and also, like, I feel, like, guilt if I don't do something like even up to the standard or anything at all, right?
Are you Catholic, Gabe?
I grew up Catholic.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you can sense the guilt.
Oh, the guilt a mile away. That was the final puzzle piece. I'm like, I get this picture.
Okay, I know your whole vibe. Yeah, definitely grew up in the Catholic Church. Had to do confessions at like 7 years old.
Oh, yeah,
it's crazy.
It's just like, that is a nuts thing they make you do.
Yeah.
But did you like turn to, what was your relationship like spiritually after your dad had passed away? Did you like pray and stuff or?
No, not particularly. Like, I remember, I mean, praying is different for everybody, not to, like, discount any type of prayer.
No, of course. Yeah.
But I just remember, like, talking to myself and talking to, like, God, whoever I thought God was at that time.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think it, like, it deepened my relationship with the Catholic Church by any means.
That's interesting. So you didn't really, so, like, you didn't turn towards any sort of thing like that. I really have to say, Gabe, I'm, like, you really... You sound like the most mature 8-year-old I've ever heard of, dude. Like, you're just like, oh my God. But
There was definitely like a nice community within the church, right? In my town.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, when my dad died, they were like doing the, like, dropping off lasagnas at our house.
Sure.
So, like, it was nice to have that relationship with the community to lean on.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of the, like, scripture spoke to me any more than it would have.
Does it do more so like today now that you're a little bit older or no? still pretty much.
No, I think I'm more interested, but that goes for like all religion and all like spirituality, faith, whatever.
Yeah.
I have like a more curious mind about it, where it's just like it's interesting to learn what different people believe, but no like personal relationship, I don't think.
We talked a little bit about kids in the beginning.
Yeah.
Have you thought like about the kind of dad you want to be like to your kids?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just around, right?
Yeah.
There. That would be nice.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're like, if I'm in the room, that's a win.
Yeah, right? It's already a step up. You should have seen what your grandpa did.
Dude, you know what I love about this pod is, like, I love that, like, the dark humor definitely comes out with this stuff. But I think it's important, man, because it gets a lot of people through it, dude. Like,
yeah,
just,
dude,
like, thinking
definitely.
About like that.
Definitely.
That is so funny. You're, like, just being around, man.
No, but I definitely, I mean, I don't know what kind of dad I want to be. I definitely want to be, like, accepting, loving.
Sure, sure.
You know, just like making a happy family. You know?
Yeah, dude. No, totally. And how is your mom doing like today with everything? Like, is she like, I mean, I'm sure she still feels that grief and stuff, but it must be nice to look at you and your sister and see that you guys have like turned out okay.
Yeah. And like massive credit to my mom. She's the strongest
really,
person I
that's
know.
That's really incredible.
Yeah. She's about 5 months away from retirement, which is super exciting.
Good for her. Does she have any plans? Does she know what she wants to do?
Well, she spends a lot of time now in Puerto Rico, just because her family's from Puerto Rico. My grandparents on her side are from Puerto Rico, so she goes, spends about half the month there.
Okay.
Just like take care of them, like
gotcha.
Do stuff around the house.
Do you ever go down with her?
Yeah, I've been down. We used to go a lot as a kid, and now she just got an apartment in Puerto Rico. She's like trying to slowly
move. Oh, nice. Do like a little snowbird type thing? Yeah, like where, oh, dude, that's cool.
Which is sweet. And yeah, so it's great to spend time down there.
Yeah.
So that's most of her plans right now. I'm telling her she needs to like pre-pick a hobby. Or else like during the day, she's just going to go crazy.
Dude, that's like the biggest thing. Cause like my mom is also on the verge of retirement. Like she's like 4 years out.
Yeah.
My dad owns his own business. He's never going to retire. Like he's just always going to find shit to do.
Yeah.
But with her, I'm like, you know, like, she will pick up on something because she's another one that like can't sit still. But
yeah.
It's like, you know, that's so important. You just gotta stay busy, man.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Just, yeah.
Like I want to get her like, I don't know, gardening supplies
or
something.
Or like a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
Steal two of the pieces. So that she's like, where? Why can't I?
Yeah, keep
this?
The mind active. Yeah.
Probably the most diabolical thing to ever do to a person: give them a puzzle and then steal some of the pieces.
It's like, no, they're all in there. I'm pretty sure they're all in there.
Gabe, typically we, with your low point in particular, like we usually end on, not to say this is the end of the conversation,
sure.
But like, what would you say to either your younger self in that situation or someone who has lost their father at a young age and is struggling with it?
I'd probably say like, don't be afraid to be a problem because something shitty, like really shitty happened to you.
Yeah.
So it's great that you're unflappable, right?
Yeah.
And but it's okay to like be a brat sometimes, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's really interesting because like again, Catholic guilt, it really seems like that was like the biggest thing for you was like you just didn't want to be a burden on
yeah.
your mom or your family.
Yeah.
Were there any times like, I don't know if we talked about it already, were there any times where like you felt like a burden on your mom? Like you did mess up or like you did make a mistake that was.
Well, there were a couple instances where I was like, I mean, we're both big into baseball. I played baseball throughout my childhood and my mom's the one who got me into baseball. She's a nice. Huge Mets fan. So, yeah, sorry. Sorry to break it to you.
I liked her up until this point. Imagine.
Yeah. All right. Show's over.
All right. That's it.
Turn off the mics.
You're going to be the first guest that makes me walk my own podcast.
But yeah, I did feel like I was letting her down because like I really loved baseball, but like I didn't have the talent for one. Where it's like I was fine, you know.
Sure, sure.
But it's like she would give me all these opportunities, and I would just like not take advantage of them, and in other stuff as well.
Sure.
But it's like, oh, you're not using the tea that I bought you. You're not whatever.
Yeah. Oh God, as a Catholic, that would eat me alive.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's the one that comes to my mind, but yeah, other stuff as well where it's just like my mom is doing so much for me and my sister to put us in the best position possible,
mm-hmm.
and like not taking advantage of those opportunities. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like at like 12 years old, I'm like, what am I doing?
You're like sitting down coloring. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Or if like I have like 6 hours to put a project together or something that I forgot about.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I see. That's, oh.
Yeah.
Because then that's even worse. Then you're stressed about the project, then stressed about how you messed up.
Exactly.
And, oh, my God. Does that carry over into just because in stand up, every comedian I talk to is like, I should be doing more. So, yeah. Like, does that carry over that kind of guilt of like, I need to be doing stuff?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where it's like,
you're like, I'm doing this stupid podcast and I should be writing.
No, but like every night I spend. In just like laying down, like watching a show,
dude,
I'm like,
yeah.
I could be writing, I could be doing a mic,
yeah.
I could be like,
yeah, you could
just
be
in somewhere,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, which I mean, I do need to be better at like being more proactive and be in places, but also it's like fine not to.
Well, you also just came out with 2 music videos, so I think you know what I mean? It's like, no, but dude, because I feel that way all the time, and it's like, you know, it's just on the specific topic of, you know, we always could be doing more,
yeah.
It's like, you do need to take time to rest. This is a marathon. It is not
a sprint,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, dude, because otherwise you'll just burn yourself out.
Yeah.
That's not helping anybody.
Totally.
Do you talk about any of the dad stuff on stage? I don't think I've heard any jokes on it.
Yeah, I've tried to work them in before,
sure.
But definitely not, like, in depth. Like, I'll just say, like, oh, my dad died,
sure,
whatever,
sure.
And then another joke off that.
Have you thought of, like, going to that personal level, or do you think, like, you don't necessarily want to go there with the audience?
I haven't written any jokes that are like too personal, like,
sure,
that,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just like I gotta find the right joke, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's one, because it is like such a sensitive topic that,
yeah.
Like, yeah, it needs to, I hear you, the joke needs to be like alleviate that,
yeah,
tension,
exactly,
yeah, I hear you,
yeah.
But yeah, dude, I think I'm very sorry you had to go through that, man. That's
thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Are you like, are there any like last takeaways that like stuff that you feel like you haven't said about your experience or any like?
I mean, as like now, especially doing comedy, I definitely feel that sense of like not wanting to make too much noise, right? Because like so much of comedy is like putting yourself out there, banging on the table for yourself,
yeah.
And like, I definitely feel like resistant to that, where it's,
sure,
like. Like, who am I to, like...
Oh, I feel that way, too, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just... I've been really trying to just keep coming back to this, where it's, like, so much of comedy, too, it's just putting your blinders on.
Totally.
And it's just fucking putting your head down and doing what you gotta do. Because, like, we talked about the comparison game, right? It's, like, obviously in a different context, but you'll never do anything because you'll just constantly be comparing yourself to like others and
right, and you'll never be as good as the next comparison.
Right, exactly.
There's always going to be someone who you want something from.
Exactly. And like Gary Goldman says this great thing, I heard him say on like Birbiglia's podcast, which was that like if you compare, even at his level, he's been like 30 plus years, he's a master at it, and
yeah.
He's just like, if I compare myself to other people, I'll talk myself out of it, which
yeah.
is like nuts to think. But you gotta, does it smell like weed in here? Am I?
Damn, someone lighting up.
Someone lighting up outside. It's a bookstore full of paper. Okay. It's Gabe, this was a pleasure, man.
Dude,
I had so
great.
Much fun.
Thank
tell the people yeah, of course, tell the people where they can follow you.
Oh yeah. On Instagram you can follow me at gabe.corser. That's gabe.corser. Yeah, tons of cool stuff. Drop 2 music videos. We got the link in my bio. It's called.
We're going to link every video and clip we post. We're going to link and tag Gabe's Instagram and TikTok, so you can find the link through there.
Heck
make
yeah.
it super accessible. Check it out. It's a really great music video.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Also, it's like 5 minutes. Put it on while you're like cooking, making breakfast, and listen to this pod. Man.
Right? Two
Turn
great
this
songs.
Pod off. Go watch the music video.
Exactly.
And then
this will be like the next
the
play, the
yes.
autoplay.
Oh, we're going to add this to the queue. Yeah. It's just like the playlist.
Yeah. And for the music video, shout out to Sean. I just want to give a shout out to the director.
Yeah, man. What if I was like, no?
Yeah, yeah, we'll cut this. We'll cut
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we're good.
That's Sean, Shawnee SPK on Instagram. Super great videographer for anything you need. He's recorded some of my stand up before.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And like super crisp, super professional. He's great. He's great.
Absolutely. Can they find him through the YouTube video as well?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So like all
his
the collaborations
like
are on there.
Tag is in the description and on the video.
That's perfect.
Dude. Shout out Alec, my friend, my fellow musician. He's the one really making music still. Or like as I've been doing comedy, he's making music.
Do you want to go back to making more music, do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to find maybe not a balance where I still want to maintain this level of comedy that I'm doing.
Yeah, of course.
Like even more so, you know, I'm trying to do as much as I can. But I do kind of miss it. After releasing this, it is, like, fun to release
music.
Yeah,
totally,
you know?
Dude. Yeah, absolutely.
So I've been trying to write a little bit more music.
Dude, I love that so much, man. I look forward to
it. Yeah,
yeah. Gabe,
fun.
This is awesome, man. Dude. This is a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on, dude.
Of course. And here's
this
to hoping.
Great.
Of course, dude. And, sorry, I'm very awkward with the tag at the end.
Yeah, what are
you ready for this? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. It's super corny and cheesy.
All right,
here
dude.
We go. And here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
Let's go.
Gabe, thank you so much, dude. This
Absolutely.
Is great.